This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, January
16th, 2007. Okay. I'd like to call today's meeting to order, January 16th meeting. At this time, I'd also like to call for late additions to the agenda. I'll start with this one. We'll put it under new business. It'll be the Child Care Center Committee appointments. Any other late additions? Okay, we'll move on to the report from the chair. Talk briefly about a meeting we had with Mary Opperman, myself, Carrie, Michael, and Dennis were present. It went well. I got an important message, you know, to pass on, something that I gained as a valuable knowledge from Mary. It's also reflected in the article I wrote for this paw print edition. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you do. It's actually a great paw print. Not the article itself, but the whole entire paper, right? What we want to do as employee assembly members is try to help employees realize that there's more to their job than what they do on a regular basis, like to see the whole picture, whether it be an employee who is doing a support role as far as if they're working in dining, but they happen to see a student who is having stress and going through a lot of problems during finals, you know, that, hey, we are here to support the students, and, you know, maybe kind of do see what you can do to help out that student. Or to learn what the bigger picture is in our jobs. I don't just support IT. That I actually, if I give a job description, I support IT in support of students' education. And that, we feel, is a great message to get out there to people. Carrie, do you have anything to add from the meeting?
I think you did a good job of that. It's about line of sight and seeing how you're connected with the university as a whole. And
right.
Incidences where, you know, you might be doing your job and in the line of what you consider your job, you step outside of it and see someone who's in need, a student or a faculty or staff who may have an eating disorder or, you know, some other trouble that's going on, and reach out to them. And that's all about the health caring community that President Gordon was talking about, as well as the site and
yeah. Yeah, great. Great. Any questions from there? Okay, move on to a brief summary of the winter retreat. There's an open discussion that we can get to later, but I just want to say that I am very, very pleased with how the winter retreat went. I'm also very pleased to see that some of the items that we discussed have already started. Leon's working on getting speakers, and other people are doing things, and we didn't sit around. We actually are moving forward on what we talked about. It wasn't just once I type up everything and get it out to everybody, it wasn't just a document. It's real. It's credible. And I appreciate everybody for moving forward on their pieces of the puzzle. I actually, just as people came in the room, I feel closer with everybody already. So I think that was a goal of having a winter retreat, is to bring us together again halfway through our year. And I think that was successful as well. So good job to everybody. We will have an open discussion as we move forward. Everybody's getting ready for the semester startup. Jobs are becoming demanding. So again, thanks for pulling together and staying on task. Move on to our report from our elected employee trustee, Michael.
I have two items. One is we have a full slate of meetings a week from today. So committee meetings and board meetings. the subcommittee of the trustee nominating committee that will be meeting today to finalize, or hopefully finalize, the election guidelines for the employee trustee election that is happening this year. And then we'll have more to report after next week's meeting. Any questions?
Leon has one. Leon?
Do you anticipate any changes in the guidelines significant from 5 years ago?
I don't think there'll be any significant changes. I think it's just we sort of tidy them up, see if there are any things that are need to be included. I think people become much more tech savvy, then maybe regulations on what you can and can't do online and things like that. But I don't think it's going to be anything major from the last.
And just one other question, the Board of Overseers, any anticipated major significant decisions or?
Do you mean something in particular?
No, I have no idea, so I'm just asking you anything on the agenda that may be of significance or maybe you can't talk about
it. Well, I hope it's all going to be significant, I don't want to miss a meeting for several hours, but the agenda hasn't gone out yet.
Any rumors or innuendo?
One quick question. Who's chairing the trustee nominating committee?
It's being co-chaired by myself and Monty Ehrenberg.
Okay. Michael, any discussion about increasing the number of employee elected trustees again?
There has been in the past. That has been brought up by me, mm-hmm. brought up by John Adolf, it's been brought up many times. And it's just never going to happen. I think we've really fought hard for, I think, 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. to get them to revert to the original charter, but they came to the point where we all decided we just need to move forward, and we have to move forward. Hopefully there's going to be plenty of candidates who walk out of position. The more candidates we have, the more ammunition that we have, the more interest. So.
And one last question. Inquiring minds want to know, will you be running again?
I will not be running again. That's why I'm on the nominating committee.
And is that by choice or
by
charter?
Choice. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great questions. I guess, Bill, we could probably move that, we could readdress that goal of the two employee elected trustees. We have that as one of our mm-hmm. goals on there. We might mm-hmm. want to just look at that again. Maybe we could move it off for now, given what Michael mm-hmm. just said. Michael, thank you very much.
Sure.
Moving forward, a report from our UA representative, mm-hmm. Bill Liddick.
I have nothing to report. I haven't since last time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we did get these minutes out in an email, December 19th, meeting minutes. Very good job on these. Just in case you didn't get them, give me a quick couple minutes to go through them, see if you notice anything. Anybody see anything?
I have one thing. Amy, would you be able to insert James Brown's title? You've indicated who Jennifer Stride Mullen is. And could you indicate that James Brown is the executive director of Thompson County United Way?
Yeah. I sound like a jerk in this minute.
She just tells it like it is.
Apparently.
Completely okay. factual.
Where, for example?
I have a question. I don't know if this is something for an addition to the minutes, but what's the official number of child care in the daycare center? Does anyone know that? She brings me up very often and prepares.
As children that can be there,
yeah.
It's not finalized,
it's
am I
not
correct?
Finalized. Okay.
No, it's finalized.
It is finalized, I'm incorrect.
154, at least. It's about 50 per section, infants, toddlers, and preschools.
Okay. Thank you, Amy.
I would make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Dropper.
Okay, second, all in favor of approving the minutes with the recommended change?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll approve the minutes with the mentioned change. Okay, before I move on to committee reports, I know she doesn't like this, but I'd like to... ask our guest to introduce herself again to everybody.
Hi, I'm Kelly Spicer from Alumni Affairs and
Thank you. I don't know, she's been at several of our meetings, and just in case you missed her around the time she's been here. Now, Kelly, you're also on the campaign for Cornell?
Yes.
Okay, so that's something else that she's doing.
Well, actually, I'm designing the faculty and staff annual giving
program. That's where I first met her. Thanks for coming. Okay, committee reports. We'll move into the executive committee report. I'll start it off and see if any of the other execs want to add on. We didn't meet. It was just before our winter retreat. We agreed upon the agenda for the winter retreat. And we had a very successful winter retreat, in my opinion. We talked briefly about the punctuality of the meetings. We're going to try to start on time as much as possible, as you can see today, give or take, depending on the flow of people coming in. Anybody else want to add to that? Okay. Move on to the Staff Award Recognition Committee. And I'd just like to say, if you haven't seen the paw print, this time look at it, because our George Peter Award winner is in it, David Kalb. Great job. We got a lot of coverage on that. Dennis, you want to add anything on that?
Staff Award Recognition, Amy just indicated to me that the second George Peter Award winners...
Well, the first of 2008.
The first one of 2008, sure. Okay, thank you for rephrasing. Reception is being scheduled for what, February 5th?
February 5th.
Okay, and that's Dave Richardson, but of course everyone has to keep that under their belt. He's from PDC.
How are those nominees chosen, or how is that, what is the process?
People nominate... and fill out an application form, and three letters of nomination come from the nominee and two other people. And then the SRF staff, award and recognition committee, reviews them and makes decisions. And typically, then they forward those to an ad hoc committee that's made up of the employee elected trustee and a proper editor and several employee assembly members who then make the final decision on it. That process didn't happen this time because of the curtailed nature. There was a desire to sort of speed this one up.
And just the piece about the supervisor or the nominees unit, whoever selected, they're the ones that actually pay for doing the ceremony.
Except for the cake.
Mm-hmm. Except for the cake.
That's crazy.
Great. Okay, move on to the communication committee.
We haven't met since the last meeting, but I do want to say just one brief thing, which is keep sending me, if you haven't already, rooms where we can hold other EA meetings. So I appreciate it. A couple of people who sent them to me already, and if there's one in your area that looks like a good one, please send it to me as name of contact and information about room capacity if you have it, things like that. That's it. The report from
I know we've spoken a few times about Geneva Are we going to include Geneva in this year?
I think if, you know, if you have a meeting area and the place, you know, contact information, send it to me, definitely, and then we can consider it when we're talking about inviting guest speakers or locations.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be included, so definitely send it to me, and we can discuss that more with the whole group as well.
Along those lines, yes. If I can make this comment, that might be a very good place for George Peter to be the speaker. Has George Peter ever spoken at Geneva?
Nope.
Yeah. I'm just thinking in terms of, I know you have a limited number of meetings that you can really put on the road, and that was one meeting. That might be a potential time. That's in May, I think. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
Just got some logistics to work out, but I think, you know, it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, too. It's a great idea to have at least one meeting during the academic year at Geneva. Because we were talking about spreading the meetings out instead of meeting here. So, yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah. And space is never an issue in Geneva.
They have tons of that.
Okay.
And not to move away from our game face attitude that we have right now, but, you know, I'll get you the information to Architecture, Art, and Planning's conference room in Rome, Italy.
All right.
I thought I'd be straying a little on that one.
Yeah, I did actually let Amy know that as soon as I knew the exact dates, and I do have those dates, that I would look also at our facility over there. But the people always want to know, well, what's the date you're looking at?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that would be key for me to know, you know, if that site is going to be used.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to know, like, what the dates or dates would be.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think we can do that with these dates that are already established. And then for a thing that's put together for like that has more of a timeless sense to it, I would love to just have the, you know, the room location, the possibility that we can actually get it at some point in the context. And so that document can then be passed on, you know, year after year to you. There's just a contract.
Mm-hmm. The only, just briefly, the only issue that's in AAP is because they use them for so many students, sponsors, workshops and whatever, classes and whatever, or guest speakers, you know, that come in. That's the only reason they need to know, like, what a specific date is.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can tell me.
Okay. Thanks, Liam.
Great. Yeah, like I said before, thanks for moving ahead on that, guys. Okay, well, Bill, finance.
Nothing to report.
Any questions for Bill? Shouldn't. Nothing has changed too much. Move to EGF, the Emergency Grant Fund.
What I can report is that I've spoken with Deb Billets, who has been chair of the Emergency Grant Fund for several years now, and she's feeling that because of her increasing job responsibilities, she's no longer going to be able to serve as chair. And she feels that she has not been as effective in the past 6 months or so. The group has not met. The group, one of the charges or one of the goals of the Employee Assembly was to update the Emergency Grant Fund, look at possibilities of expanding it. Deb hasn't been able to lead that charge. So I'm going to encourage her to put that in writing to you folks so then you can look forward and do it for that committee.
Okay. I'll definitely rally up the Staff Award Recognition Committee members to move forward, if that does happen, to get her a certificate of thanks. As we've mentioned in one of our past meetings, I wanted to do that as members drop off. Okay, it's sad to hear. Personnel policy? Sure. Anybody get any info to add to it, or we'll just...
We were supposed to have a meeting this past Monday, but it was rescheduled because we weren't sure what's going on. All this release type thing, so now we're going to communicate with Beth and try to figure out where that's at so we can before we meet again.
Okay. Great, thank you. IOC, Peter?
Nope, nothing. Yeah.
Any questions for Peter? Okay, university benefits? Yeah, no one has anything. Okay. Employee education, I assume the same. Okay. We'll move on to old business. I know.
I just wanted to say briefly that I'm not on any committee, so any committee that you or whoever feels appropriate that needs help, I would be willing to join.
Oh, great.
Did you send me an email about that? Right? Did you send me an email about that?
Yeah, that I would attend the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I worked it out with Peter, works on staff and the committees, but.
Okay.
Great. I'll send an email about a week or two ago that listed all the committees and some of their meeting times and contact persons. So.
No, we'll definitely take that.
But what I don't have a sense of is where the need is.
Everywhere.
in my opinion, Leon, it would be communication mm-hmm. committee.
Communication.
Yep, and
personal policy.
Personal policy.
Several issues. So.
I was gonna. I've talked to Kelly about joining communications as well as personal policy. So I'll email Donna today about that.
Okay. Great.
Committees and stuff, so we keep track of that.
Okay.
Great. So we don't have any old business. New business. I'd like to get asked to officially appoint three individuals on the Child Care Center Committee. They've currently been doing the work and serving on this committee, and I need to officially appoint them through a letter. These three people are Amy O'Donnell, who is holding a non-exempt seat, Brenda Marston, who's holding the exempt seat, and Harry Evans from bargaining. And if nobody has any objections to that, I'll just move forward with these appointment letters. Yes?
I agree.
Thank you. Amy did say that summertime that it's possible these terms will be up for these individuals, and somebody said to express interest in getting on this committee.
Isn't Brenda Marsden an academic?
She's considered staff.
Is she the librarian or archivist?
Technically,
she can be an academic staff or representing academics. Well, my opinion is this is somebody who's in a very gray area, so I think they can go either way. I think if we're truly representing staff, then you want someone who's unequivocally in a staff position. I think. Professional librarian position, either librarian, archivist, or curator, may identify more with faculty or academics than with staff.
That's a good point. Anybody have anything else to add on that, Bill?
Question first, though. This committee has been in existence for quite a while as an ad hoc, and it's just officially a UA committee, but has she been asked for quite a while?
When the committee was formed in June, she was.
I just kind of, it's one of those situations that I don't, like we've done here at the EA, I don't know if we want to, if the terms are up this summer, if we want for continuity and so forth, let her stay in at least till then. If somebody decides that she's not the, she doesn't have the right background, that she's in more of a faculty than just staff. I guess I just question whether you want to let her stay on until the term's over and make her aware of the fact that at that point you're looking for a self staff person. If that decision is made, I'm not making it here. But.
Okay.
Is it confidential or can someone find out if she's, how she's in HR, how she's officially designated?
I'm sure we can definitely do that. And then I would think that. The best way of determining what part of the gray area she's on would be to ask the current members who sit with her if she seems to be fighting for staff or fighting for faculty. But
I kind of go with the answer, but I think you have the official reference to the city, and I think you have to go based on that.
What is her title, her official title?
Curator.
And that is an academic title.
Can new people join the committee, or is it like the EA where there are certain seats designated for faculty, certain for staff, or can you know, can you staff still join? And
well, pretty much these letters should, you know, these three individuals have been doing all the work from the very beginning, and we definitely can check that. I can check that and get back to everybody, find out where she sits.
I just want to point out off the record that in the meeting that we had with Mary, she raised concerns that this was a heavily faculty-driven committee. And I think that if there are three seats designated for staff, then you want three people who really are representing staff needs. When I say heavily academic driven, we're talking about pricing structure and things like that, which I don't think that always accommodate what staff financial needs might be.
Okay.
That's why I'm raising concern. I actually know Brenda. I'm quite friendly with her, but my impression is that she identifies as an academic and not as a staff person.
Okay.
And she certainly has a salary that I think is above what a lot of staff people are. So that was private as that concern.
Great point. Anybody at this time have any objections to me moving forward with the appointment letters for Amy O'Donnell and Harry Evans? Okay. What I will do is find out the official job title and where she stands. And if it is on the academic side, then, you know, clearly she might not be the best representative for us. But I think it takes further discussion on this. But a discussion that has to happen rather quickly. We can make an agenda next week's exec meeting and get it taken care of.
Can you just send out an email to the entire group letting us know what you find out as far as
I can do that.
Standing?
I can do that.
And then if people feel strongly on it, then we can reply.
And then we can add it to whatever agenda we want. And put it wherever we want.
That's good.
Okay. Okay, the winter retreat discussion. Somebody want to initiate this?
Oh, it was awesome.
Was a good time.
Initiate it.
I've said a lot about it. I want to hear from other people.
I thought it was very good. I guess I'm trying to figure out where we go with the last major idea that we discussed about the potential restructuring or doing something to better whatever cases.
Right.
How do we perceive it?
Okay, I'll give a little recap on that last part, and then I'll tell you what I think my direction, where I want it to go at this point, and see what you guys, how you guys feel. When most of us were there, what we did is we identified a list of problems with the current employee assembly structure, how it's made up, the number of members, it's volunteer time, so it's demanding, so we sometimes are empty-handed, our committees aren't full staff, and then more importantly, does the way the EA is broken down, does it give full representation to all parts of the university that we as an elected body are supposed to represent? And if not, what are some ideas of restructuring the EA to make sure that it does touch everywhere? We have some of the problems, I'll try to be brief on this, is that we have elections that people run unopposed, uncontested, they're just appointed, or they're just there. Take me for instance, no one ran against me, there was no vote. I represent, or I come from a small college, and then same situation for other people. Bill was on with me. We've been looking to fill all seats on the EA for quite some time now, and we're still one short. It's tough sometimes to make decisions in the best interest of the people we represent with the current structure we have now, because not all parts of the university and who we represent are represented. There's big areas in our reach map that Bill's worked on that have no representation, no communication method to get back to those people to hear what they have to do. The only way we can get university opinions is to hold open forums. We've looked at ideas of having better ways of the EA being structured. And one thing is to remove the volunteer aspect of it and have the university broken down into logical units. Whether that be athletics as one, and campus life as one, and arts and sciences coupled with architecture, art, and planning as one. I don't know the breakup. This is all ideas. Those units are required to designate someone to be on the EA with unit-wide elections. So we still got, you know, popular vote, competition. By having elections at those smaller levels, more of a turnout. And then it's more, all areas are represented because EA members will go back to the unit, communicate, smaller communication channel, and then can come back and report, speak on behalf of who they represent. That was pretty much what it was. And I would like to move forward on it by just forming an interest group, getting together, brainstorming, volunteer interest group. It's not official. That's the direction that I felt at the retreat. Everyone said we could go and meet, get some ideas together, and as we get something a little more, you know, something a little more formal, bring it back to the EA, and then it's possible that we could form a an official committee to work on it. But at this time, I feel it's an interest group. I don't know if that was a good recap. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if this is practical or not, but I'm just thinking of, because there's so many committees and so many meetings and possibly an interest group, is it possible during a regular EA meeting that maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes over the next whatever could be devoted to just this topic?
Oh, yeah. I think, though, instead of being broad when you request the agenda item, because that's open, you know, whatever you want to request, maybe to help carry out, if you have a specific topic that, let's say you're at home, you brainstorm, you have a great idea, say EA restructure elections. It'd kind of be a little more specific about it. That way it won't be just so broad for 10 minutes.
But maybe we could bring those ideas with us. That's what I'm saying, to bring them with us instead of just, you know, arriving and then thinking about it. You know, think about it for the next meeting and bring ideas or email them, you know what I mean, and then say, okay, now we have 10 possibilities. Let's sort through and prioritize. Or if that's not practical, then an interest group with more meetings. I'm just trying to cut down on the meetings.
Right. No, I agree.
I think one of the important first steps is see what your process might be for change. I don't disagree with looking at this, but to fully understand, you know, because you do have a charter, you are part of a larger campus sports organization, and I don't know. I mean, and I would imagine the Office of the Assembly should support you in researching that. But I think one of the important first steps would be what would be our process. And then kind of work from there to see what you needed to do to kind of to develop some recommendations for change. I don't disagree, you know, Leon. I think bringing ideas together to have people say, you know, maybe, you know, 10 minutes each meeting is not a bad idea to kind of seed everything. But I really, you know, I hate to get stuck on process, but I feel a need to that's going to be an important step, is how the charters of the university may dictate what we need to do and how we might do it. So
the only other thing I could add is, like, I haven't actually read it in a while myself, so maybe for us to even go back and see what's there, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, if there are people that are interested and identified, I'm sure we can assist with at least, you know, reading the charter and kind of synthesizing that and letting people know what we think, you know, the process might look like. and whether or not that's something you all want to tackle. I mean, I guess it's part of where I'm going with this, because it's, you know, it potentially can be a pretty big project.
Yeah.
Needed.
That's so I understand that point. If we understand what we have to do to have this happen, it's a good start. Then to coming up with the obvious solution, finding out that it's impossible to have happen. So it's definitely a good start that way. It doesn't take away from individually or even here 10 minutes. You know, I'd say we put it last every meeting, try to get to it, but still brainstorming, coming up with ideas on what you think it might look like. I'm looking, this is a long term, this is nothing that can happen overnight by any means, but this is something that's going to have to start, you know, a little effort here, a little effort there, and start getting a plan and moving forward. So is somebody willing to work with the Office of Assemblies on this as far as reviewing the charter to define our process of what would have to happen? Hazel, Leon, Pat. Does somebody want to be the contact for this? Out of the three of you? It's going to take a little work, so make sure that you are... Okay. Office of Assemblies, you have your point of contact. These three people are going to look at the charter, see what they come up with, work with you guys. Then you're going to report back at our next meeting if you have anything to report. So there's our agenda item for 10 minutes.
Cool.
Sure. So, any other questions on this? No, most of you were there. It sounds like a great idea. Maybe it needs to happen. Maybe it doesn't. But it's worth exploring. Okay. Have we received the package for Gary Stewart?
No.
We have not. Any updates?
I believe he's collecting signatures on his petition today and tomorrow.
If you happen to talk, if you happen to talk to him, tell him that he's got to just do 24. I'll sign for him.
I think he's down in his office on his table, so he welcomed anybody on the employee assembly who would like to go down and sign his petition.
Where's his office?
Right
next to me.
We've
been the 110-114.
Okay, let's go help Gary out a little. Gary, Gary was at the retreat as a guest, and he seems great.
And we didn't scare him away.
He seems like he would definitely be a good addition, and that will give us a complete 13-body elected. Employee assembly. 13. Okay. Hopefully we can get that packet in, and we're going to keep this on as an agenda item.
Does he know when the next meeting is so
he
can come in
for
questions?
Yeah, we do require that part.
He's good. He loves the members.
Great. Okay. Going to move on to C, representative speakers asked to attend the EA meetings to discuss topics of interest. This is another area that has come up before, but we took action on it at the winter retreat. Who do we want as the EA to come and educate us? Who's going to be the responsible person to contact that person to come and speak to us and educate us? And where are we going to have this? So we took action on it. It's moved forward already in a matter of days, and we have some reporting. Child Care Center, who's doing that one?
I am.
Bill.
Hey, first I'd like to clarify what I was looking at is there's the Family Services Committee, and then there's the Child Care Committee, which is a subcommittee of that group. I'm actually trying to get both the a representative from the Family Services Committee, and I have a semi-commitment. They're checking their calendars to make sure, and that was Lynette Chappelle Williams to come in and speak for a little bit about the Family Services Committee, so kind of the broader committee. And then for the Child Care Center, or actually the Child Care Committee, which we talk about the center, of course, too, there's a new chair. Her name is Amy Richter. She is a grad student, and she has confirmed that she would definitely come. So I've got definitely at least the Child Care Committee representative coming to speak. This will be for the February 6th meeting, And probably we'll have the Family Services Committee represented too, as I have to confirm that.
Okay.
Okay. So we're looking pretty good.
Great. And as we go through the rest of these, remember what we're trying to do is get these three areas locked down, dates, times, place, get them to the dentist so he can put it out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Speaking of place, am I correct to assume that, I mean, we can do it at North Campus, I'm sure of that. I don't know if you want me to try and book a room or anything of that nature or hold off a little bit. And,
well,
I don't know how you want to do it.
You mentioned rooms available, all different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Julie, you just sent me information on.
We have a 6th floor conference room.
Yeah. Do you know capacity?
250, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly large room.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge room. And the only thing that we would have to really clarify is seating and getting the fee waiver, and I don't know how that's normally been handled in the past, but I don't foresee any problems. Monday's meeting is closed, so that would not be a good day because they won't have a guard.
So that's
definitely a possibility.
This is going to be a hot topic, and there's a Paul Print article going out on the 24th of January that if we get this locked down, I know they're only speaking for a little bit of time, but we could have some attendance.
Yeah, I would just need to get a definite date to make sure the room is cleared and then coordinate the seat because we have chairs they can set up and everything. Just
can you check for February 6th?
Yes, I can do that.
And it would be the same time as our regular meeting here.
Okay.
12:15 to 1:30, probably a little time before. Just in case they need to help us set up and arrange.
That's something we could do. I think that would be helpful is if we did the setup and breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
So if some of us got there, certainly I'd be there. Quarter to twelve.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of scary because we don't know how many people might show up.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to, even if it's just us and the speaker in the middle of a huge room, that's fine. But at least we were ready.
I think the way they've done it in the past with speakers is we could just go ahead and set up all the chairs and they're filled. And there's also seating along the wall for whatever reason if we got a mass turnout.
Great. Work that out.
No, not to get too many groups, but real quick. Mm-hmm. When I've been speaking to these people, we've been talking about for each of them, I said, anything from 15 minutes to a half an hour. So if I get both, it could be like taking an hour of a meeting for these speakers in this case.
I think with an advertised meeting and a hot topic like this and a lot of employee interest, I think we take that risk that they go a while. And
That's fine. That's just sure.
Certain things may have to get communicated through email, so just be prepared on a day of a speaker like this that committee reports, you may have to follow up with an email. I don't think anything will be that pressing.
So let's plan on inviting the speakers from 12:30 to 1:30.
Okay.
I think they're asking for a specific And one thing that ComCom and I wanted to look at is working with the speakers to, I know Bill, you had some kind of a temporary agenda or key points that you thought
just
might be of interest.
But
nailing down some type of communication that each of us can then go back to at the locations that we represent and send that out to people, in our buildings and our
would we be doing a question and answer as well?
At the end of
That would be built in. So probably about, 15 to 30 minute presentation when you're talking to these speakers, and then 15 to 30 minutes of question and answer time.
Okay.
That's a good breakdown. All right, parking and transportation services, what do we got?
We have David... David Lee and Bill Wendt are both coming. They both have confirmed on the 5th of March. So they have confirmed and they will be here. And one for Dennis.
Okay. What was the date now?
It's March. Wednesday, March 5th. It's
right on the paper.
That's the date that I was given.
Yeah. And where are we thinking it's going to be?
I told him that locations to be determined.
Okay.
Because I we would determine that right here.
Oh, okay.
Peggy has a question.
I have a question on this. Transportation is part. First of all, I think it's a great idea that, you know, the kind of educational sessions and advertising the staff, if you're interested in this topic, come hear more about it. Parking and transportation seems like a really broad topic, and I just thought I'd offer the suggestion that might be a good idea to either think about or solicit ideas about kind of narrowing the scope of what Bill and or the staff might talk about of what might be of interest to staff, because otherwise what you don't want is kind of a boring, you know, this is transportation and parking, you know, organizational chart. You don't, you know, you don't want, not that those are boring, but, you know, it may not be of interest to people. So, you know, let's, you know, if we're going to encourage people to get there, let's think about what they might be interested in.
I think one of the topics was what is the latest that's going on in that area. You know what I mean? So it's not just their flow chart or who reports to who, or what their duties and responsibilities.
Or what they're working on, what's going to come out in the future, and soliciting feedback and things like that. I guess part of my point is it's really important to give these departments that are coming to talk that direction.
Oh, they know that.
Okay, good.
Oh, they know that.
Terrific.
Yeah,
know.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise they'll kind of think of what they want to talk about as opposed to what you want to talk about.
Can we, I'm going to put Liam and Bill on the spot, but as EA representatives, can we send each of you, you know, topics that we think people in our units are interested in having answers, like one or two?
You can send as many as you want, because also, I mean, the audience is going to also end up asking them questions as well of what's of interest to them. But to start them off, that's fine.
Terrific.
I was thinking maybe of holding this one in RPCC or that area, not tied to it. But my thought was, right now, one of the hot topics is the A lot. There are no more parking spaces. So all of the part-time employees are no longer being issued parking, you know, permits for A lot. And I was thinking that highly affected that area of campus as well, building care and campus life. And so
it's affected our docents. It was brought up at the museum meeting this past Monday, and the docents, that's normally where they've been parking, and now it's an issue because we have very little parking in front of the museum as it is.
So where do they park in
there? I don't know. That was just brought up this week. They
the director was like, don't, you know, volunteering his ALOS pass, but I guess the issue with that is that it's tied to your car. It's a problem for us right now.
Yeah, I think
so
that's
it affects
topic.
Almost every department. But I don't know if that I know that the idea is to have meetings in different locations. So the other thought was, if we're having one over on this side of campus, maybe on a different side of campus too, but I know that Bill can get us space. I'm not sure for that date, but I know
that
he's
in
the
lot.
What's that? The A lot. Yeah, well, RPCC is right there. I mean, that's like the closest building to A lot.
Sure, yeah, you guys work that out. The sooner the better. Like what room and where, but great job on both of those.
Is anybody opposed
to having North Campus?
I think it's great, a great idea that we have one down at the Museum of Art. And
yeah, so if you just tell me whenever you know, then I'll let them know what
it's
going to be.
Sure. Any
thought?
I don't know what the guest mix would be on the size. Or they might get rooms anywhere from 25 people to a couple hundred.
Yeah, and maybe the multi-purpose.
Yeah, well,
the auditorium holds about 100, right?
140.
Yeah. What is the multi-purpose room?
Depending on how you set it up, you can get several hundred in there. Yeah, I think in one of the setups that you guys saw, 400.
Although they have the pillars which can block views, but
at least 100, though, I would think. Feeding capacity of at least 100 for that one.
Okay.
Gary, will you be coordinating the information? So you're the go-to person that when we want to run it in Pop Rick, you'll have the information.
Yeah. Jeff, so keep copying me and I'm stuff. That would be great.
She's supposed to first start with NBA related.
No,
I just have a question about like AV equipment, microphones, things like that. So that's probably if we do get a large turnout, how should we approach that? Should I just talk to when we're talking to the building coordinator, seeing what they have to set up for us, or can we bring our own? Or
yeah, we definitely would have to know if one can be available.
Yeah,
I would think projector and microphone.
Yeah.
Can you find out if there's an option to have it in?
I think there is. I think they do have it set up, but it's something definitely that we would have to have set up by our AV person.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So we'll be aware of that, and I guess so that you're
saying for the conference.
I'll check it.
Just find out what the speaker wants.
Because we can hear everyone sitting around this table, but if it's a large turnout, then.
I know that the going rate for that fifth floor conference room is $2,700.
Okay.
Are they really, because you're a staff worker, they would really waive that?
I'm hoping. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'll talk to the director and our HR person and then just tell them this is it. Because it is, I know, a topic that's come out over there. We were talking about child care on Monday during our staff meeting. And, you know, I'll see what.
Just picture an event for them, not.
I am. Well, that's what it is for the staff. And I'll talk to our HR and just really, you know, the director. I have no problems going to the director. I think he's away right now. But they really like, I mean, I think because we're sort of so in our own world, they're part of their mission really is to try to get out and reach more people if possible. So.
Yeah, just tell them with the increase in traffic into the museum that the Naked Guys Cafe is going to see more sales. It'll make it worth it.
Yeah, that's what I'll talk, because I'm actually going to be meeting with Pete, our finance director. So.
Yeah, and we're looking at a week to 2 weeks before we got to have these locked down.
Okay.
So.
I'll talk to him tomorrow. I haven't.
Sure. No. Okay.
Can I ask one more question while we're on this topic of space?
Sure can.
Kelly, you are a good resource person because you're at the downtown office building. Is there
a
space?
Yeah, we actually do have space. We have conference rooms in home. About 30 people. It's no problem to book and no fee. There's also the Hilton Garden area for a bigger, but there is a fee associated with that. I think they could reduce it for us, but I'm not sure what that would be. But we do have conference rooms that can easily accommodate up to 30 people with teleconferencing and AV in the hall.
We're in
Mendon.
We're in Mendon for a while.
Good idea. You guys, there's also, I can try to remember to bring a link to the next meeting or email. There's a database online that actually gives a breakdown for a lot of rooms and if their fee have fees or not. But yeah, we're definitely working this out good. Okay, history of the EA and leadership.
That would be George Peter, who is still in Florida.
Uh-huh.
But he said when he comes back up, he will be anxious to consult his calendar and get back in touch. So I May 7th is what I indicated would be the best time for him.
Are we looking at Geneva?
We could be looking at Geneva. It's probably a wonderful time of the year to go to Geneva.
And I think for logistics, May 7th gives everybody adequate time to plan for that. And
is there any kind of bus or anything that travels up there from campus? No.
We can carpool, but I don't know.
That's what we've done in the past.
Yeah.
I know there is a van that leaves from Ithaca, mm-hmm. and it transports Geneva people who live in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. But that van leaves like at 7 a.m.
I mean, the other possibility is if there's, you know, we have a museum van I can see about if that's out, if that's available.
I can step on my bike.
I think it seats 11 people, I believe.
Yeah, wow. A couple bands.
Okay.
Yeah, we could check.
Yeah, so you can find out. And then the question is, you know, we invite, it's always open meetings to everybody, even Geneva staff, whoever wants to come. Do we reverse it? This is going to be advertised and... I don't know if there's a way that we can get transportation for everyone from Ithaca to Geneva, but if this is going to be advertised, I don't think that everyone would come, but if this is going to be advertised, do we also got to think about that too?
Yeah,
Or do we leave it on your own?
Just
yeah. Well, I think leave it on your own, but I think one thing, you know, the reverse is very true. We can possibly still book this room or another room that you can have the teleconferencing capabilities. And so we're generating a lot of interest by, you know, moving to different locations and people can't go to Geneva. We still give them access to a room where they can all listen in on the meeting and participate that way. And that's modern technology. It's great.
Teleconference. A possibility. Or what about webcasting?
Mm-hmm. Webcasting is usually cost for them.
It does cost. Okay.
Yeah. But there, you know, if anyone has a connection with people, yeah, I think the hotel school has webcasting, and who knows? Maybe if we, you know, approach them and said, "Hey, here's a special event. Can you wait your people for it?" They might do it. Mm-hmm.
So possibilities to look into.
We have some time for that.
So. Yep. But as far as general agreement, May 7th, that's the tentative day in Geneva, George Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. All right. Well, the next item, move EA meetings to a new location.
That's
so
weird.
Well, I'd like to let you know, how will we do this? So we've already started moving forward on this.
We started, but that was also, you know, just a pitch again, a reminder. If you have a location in your area, not even in your building, but just letting you know about, please send it to me.
Yep.
So I can get a list going.
If you're also just talking about the smaller group meetings, well, we have a study gallery, which is generally available. And I don't think there would be a fee for that, but I can let you know about that as well.
Great.
Yep. So we'll be able to book. We'll be able to book things next. You know, next school year too, besides just the spring with this information we're collecting now. We can also relook at that goal and update that one for that. We move forward on that one.
And I know also, just for CALS, I know Plant Science and Bryce Hall both have no charge rooms. One has teleconferencing capability.
Okay.
Good. That'd be interesting, Plant Science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have lots of possibilities for rooms, and we're actually doing it now. Very good job, everyone. Any other questions on that? Comments? Okay. Planning for, for the next President's Gordon meeting, which is on March 19th. I guess what we want to do here is start collecting ideas of what we want to do at that meeting and what we want to bring up as topics. The last meeting, there was one PowerPoint. We presented what we've been doing, and we've also had him speak to us. So let's brainstorm here. We have a little bit of time. What do we want to talk about? What do we want to do?
Well, there may be something that might come out of the trustees' meetings between now and then that he could... I don't know. I'm just saying, just brainstorming.
Sure.
There might be something in the trustee meeting that comes up as a topic that he could cover with us.
I'd like him to give us an update about the housing stuff. He gave us one like 3 or 4 months ago. I'm hoping maybe there's some new news about that. The mortgage assistance, all the $20 million housing project for staff in Ithaca.
We're going to...
I'd like to know, hear more about that.
Keep a list of the stuff, so because they may change, you know, in a matter of weeks. They'll be in our minutes.
What is that one about?
Yeah.
Mortgage assistance with mortgage.
For staff.
Well, I mean, what was the whole thing called? That's just one piece.
It this came out. The title is Golding Hills New Era of Town Gown Cooperation with $20 million to investment in Ithaca and Tompkins County. And the deal was it's over a 10-year period, so it's $2 million each year. And there are several bulleted points that haven't been fully fleshed out yet, but they're ones that we keep hearing from staff that are of interest. So that money is slated to go towards 6 broad different areas. One being housing, possible mortgage assistance or affordable housing, we don't know yet. Two is economic development. Three is healthcare. 4 is education, 5 is infrastructure, and 6 is the environment. So those are all topics that staff really wants to know about.
Particularly good staff.
If I remember correctly, Mary had said at that meeting that she and another vice president or several have been charged with coming up with the priorities for that. Is this what you remember?
I remember that.
And they would be doing that by the end of this second semester.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool.
Another.
The end of second semester? So that would be May, June?
I thought it was the end of the second semester. But I mean, there would be some preliminary information you might be able to share, at least maybe a direction.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's only a few minutes, I'd like to share where they're at with that.
Sure. We're brainstorming right now, so.
Another topic, too, is the medical college. I know that Mary had been charged with going there and kind of meeting with their staff and such to get a better perspective of what they're looking for. I kind of wonder how she made out with that, because I know at one point the employee assembly had talked about working with the medical school to see if they don't have anything like this in place there. So I would
think. Yeah, I remember we were told to hold off, so it may be a good update now. Hey, it's progressed. What's going on? So that's another.
Well, is that for Mary or for the president?
Well, I think the president. I mean, he put her in charge of that.
Oh, he gave her the charge. Okay, yeah. I understand.
And you could look at it more broadly in terms of what direction is while Cornell going in terms of, and it seems to me that they're trying to bring the two systems closer together.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that that may mean something for the staff of connecting with even more.
Definitely. That's a great objective for us.
Also, he may have covered this when you said he showed what he was doing. But
we showed.
Oh.
We showed. The
what we were doing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because he's been on the road in China and all over the world. So what's been going on in those countries you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's another.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
I mean, but that. No, like, I think that'd be very interesting, you know?
Because
I didn't know he was in China.
But I think, too, that we kind of want to make sure that it's staff-related.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to ask him how his life's been going, but
it is staff-related in the sense that if they're going to be doing articulation agreements with universities in China and around the world, I mean, staff, you know, my position is working with students, and they travel all over the world to study in different study abroad programs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I see a link.
Okay.
Yeah.
These are all great.
First quick question. When do we meet with them again after they're doing it in the semester?
I don't think you do.
March
19th.
I know there's concern with the employer, but just as an idea, I'm not sure that it wouldn't be helpful to let them explain staff organizations he's worked with in the past and other places and so forth, since we're talking about restructuring and whatnot. And I know we're not going to be well developed at that point, but my understanding is that the structures he's worked with in the past are very different from what we have here at Cornell, and it might just be good to get a feel for what he's worked with. And
I think we talked about it at the retreat, but I actually changed my mind. I actually agree with you, Bill. As long as we, you know, tactfully approach it, you know, maybe once if we can move on the process, that we have to do. But it doesn't hurt. Yes.
The campaign fund, like all this $1 billion fundraising, is that $4 billion, $5 billion, what's going on?
Sure, an update to the campaign.
Update on the campaign fund.
Yeah, definitely be good to hear about that.
A lot of great ideas. To be here for 3 hours.
Well, let's, are you figuring them out?
It's at 1.91.
What? Well, almost halfway there.
Right, and they will probably get halfway by the end of this fiscal year.
Wow.
Right?
So
and actually, year end, they haven't finished processing year end.
And maybe another one in terms of education for undergrads and grad students. As some of you know, like at Harvard, I think if your family income is, what is it, $45,000 or less, and they admit you, you pay no tuition. This week, Yale University just announced something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So is Cornell. What's Cornell's position on that, or are they looking?
It's a talk.
You know.
Question.
Is that for children's tuition or personal?
No, that's for
reducing
loans for middle income, which actually I've heard that Cornell will have to file follow suit.
What's going on with us? What are we doing?
That would be big news for a lot of students. Let's save the rest of our ideas for that meeting. We will have others to narrow it down. I appreciate your input on it. I guess we can, if anybody want to, I'm not going to go once around, we never finish. I'm going to just open the table for any kind of open forum discussion, and we're going to end in a few minutes. Yeah, Pat.
I have been contacted by a person named Tina Henry. She's in with Cal, and she is interested in discussing with me some information about the children's tuition program, and I don't have a whole lot of information on that, but I will get what I can from Benefit Services. But this seems to be a new topic that people are interested in, like what are staff eligible for, what are the limitations, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, this is a real important point that I think for the EA, it's not just staff, of course, faculty as well, but I think it would be really good for us to have some information available in case that those questions are asked. So what I'm going to do is find out as much as I can. I'll share that with Tina, but I'll also share it with the EA.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, and you can always use Donna in the Employee Education Committee as well. So she might have some of those answers readily. I have another one along education as the EA. Maybe one for some of you old-timers. Has the EA ever made a recommendation?
That would be me.
Has the EA ever made a recommendation or ever been approached to make a recommendation for a staff member student, like a letter of reference for acceptance into any of our colleges?
What?
I was asked by a couple who are staff at Cornell, they've been here over 15 years, if the employee assembly would be willing, how it would work if they wrote a letter of reference for their child, just based upon the time served of the employees.
It's not relevant.
No. Just bringing it up. But
it's not relevant.
Yeah.
It isn't. The reason I'm saying this, I mean, I read applications for students that we admit into the college.
Right.
We don't care how long their parents have worked in anywhere or who they are.
Right.
It's not relevant.
Okay.
It'd be a waste of time.
Yeah.
So I would say no. I'm not an old. Well, I'm old, but not an old timer. But it's not relevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We want recommendations.
Would actually be appropriate.
Right.
You know, to start doing something like that first.
That's
second. Yeah. It's there's no personal context there, and that information is gathered by the three written recommendations that are required as part of the application project by teachers and other.
Exactly, the people writing those letters have to know that student.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know who it is, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Well, I definitely don't know.
Don't know any students.
Yeah.
Yeah,
bringing it up.
It's not appropriate.
Thanks, guys. Jules?
I don't know if this is relevant. I will be away on the March 19th President Gorton meeting. I'll be on vacation, so.
Okay. Have fun.
You're on teleconference then?
No. I'll be in Death Valley.
We'll call you.
Bring in Death Valley.
But I just want to add, though, to the letter, instead of just saying no and leaving just the negative thing, on the positive side, you could just recommend, like Peggy was saying, and like we normally, it would be from like the high school teacher, guidance counselor, one of their favorite teachers, English, math, or whatever course. It would be folks like that. That would be relevant.
That makes sense.
Because they have been in the classroom, they know their work or not, as the case may be, and it would be someone who really knows them in a school setting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or even community.
Or the community,
So those are the type of reference letters you're looking for.
If they have a summer job.
Okay, great.
One more thing. Tomorrow, the expanded group is meeting with President Scorton.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wanted to remind everybody.
Okay, thank you. Yep, got it on my calendar. Thanks.
I've got one more. Last night, I was sent the press release. I don't know if any of you know Greg... Busby, who's at CIT. He's a Cornell alum. But he has a five-year-old son who is undergoing treatment for a highly aggressive form of lymphoma. And there's going to be a benefit called Rhapsody for Robbie on Sunday, February 3rd in the afternoon at the First Congregational Church in Cuba Heights. And I will be sending information out on Pop and Flash. I'll send, make sure you all get the information.
I have photographs of him.
Do you
really? A little boy and his father and everything from the wedding, but yeah.
Okay. Do you know the family?
Yeah. I don't know them real well, but I might, if they want, if you want some, a photograph, a visual image.
I might, for the newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you for that. And also there's a website you can go to. But I don't know this kind of cancer, but it's Burkitt's lymphoma, and it's very rare. Only 300 cases are seen in the United States each year. So it's very aggressive. It doubles tumors every 16 hours.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
But it says it's also highly treatable with cure rates in children upward of 80%. So this is a benefit to help the family with medical expenses. So if you just will get a copy of it.
How old is John?
Five.
They're very nice people.
Hey, we're about out of time. Yes, sir.
I just, regarding Soup and Hope, I have some posters. If you take one back to your workplace and post it, that would be helpful in terms of...
So I don't need to, right?
Hmm?
I don't need to, right?
No.
Okay. Oh, no, that's great.
Motion to adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Second.
Oh. Got a second. All in favor?
Really,
any opposed?
Yeah.
Adjourn.
I hate Kelly.
We don't, really?
Yeah.
Hey, are we going to Gary Stewart's office? For what? For fries?
I don't know.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.